This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, FM 105.7 AM 1340. Thank you for tuning in. As always, we're up at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also have the Periscope up and running. Second Hour Smiles. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. And if you like those free items in life, go ahead and download the free Fan Run Radio app. It's free 99. Get it today in app stores, wherever they're sold for you. Hour number two vibes. Let's go ahead and kick it off. Hour number two, give me the punishments. Give them to me.
You want to go ahead and do it now?
Go ahead and do it now.
Well, I got to put the music on?
Put the music on.
All
right. I'm going to get it out the way. Hour number two, we will recap the NFL. We'll get into a little bit of NBA talk. We have NBA opening night tonight. Also, we got to get back to the Diamond, too.
Yeah, Braves got big.
What are you
pivotal
out?
Game three.
Wait, this is the right bag, right?
Oh, make sure it's the right bag.
I thought they
bag.
Were in the blue.
No, that one's it. That's the right bag.
It is.
Is that no punishment? Make sure I grab that one.
I'm not going to tell you what I just saw right there. Make sure you crumble it all up. It looked like you just put that one that you pulled out back in there without
no
crumbling
punishment.
It.
I'm going to go ahead and grab it.
Oh, geez. You're so particular up there.
Grab it.
There should only be one no punishment left, right? Because Charlie grabbed
all
it.
All I saw left. Was the word challenge.
Mm-mm. I don't know what that was.
Right? It's not the one chip either because I already got that one out
that
of the way.
That one's done. You had to do the one chip, didn't you?
I did.
That's right. All right. I'm just going to go ahead and get out of the way so I don't have to worry about it. Hear me shaking the back, shake, 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 shake that back. All right. Can I look at I can't even tell. I'm trying to say, can I see what the no punishment might be? All right. If I get TikToker, it's meant to be.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. I'm moving them around. We've already talked about the stipulations. Can't piss off the pregnant woman this weekend.
So what does that do for the Drake heart and the hair? Would you still be?
Oh man, yeah, I can't do that either. We'll see. I can't do that either. I'd have to cut my hair. Like I'd actually have to cut it to get. I got dreads. I'd have to cut it to get a Drake heart in it. All right, I've got it. Deadly BLT.
Oh,
all right, there it is.
Yep. So you're doing this one.
I said I'd do it as long as I feel great.
No, I just didn't know if you were going to redraw or not.
So. No, I'm going to take it. Okay. I would
deadly BLT.
Just because I've been very congested and feeling underneath the weather, I would like to wait till Friday to make sure that my body is great.
So, no, that's fine. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to go ahead and put this out there. When I had it last week, I didn't tell any of you guys this. I can tell you now. I hate tomatoes. So when you were talking about what ingredients to bring in,
man.
If any of you would have just brought in the tomato,
tomatoes, it would have killed you.
That would have made me gag. I hate tomatoes. I wasn't going to say anything, though, because...
Like I said, nothing that's inedible, nothing that's going to give anybody salmonella or make them sick or make them be on the toilet for hours.
So we're shooting we're shooting for Friday?
Yeah, I might be able to do it tomorrow. Well, I'll let you guys know tonight.
Yeah, okay.
So. Okay, what letter do you want up there, GP3?
Oh, yeah, you might have to be out tomorrow. Yeah. We'll say we'll shoot for Friday.
Friday.
We will get it done. I will do Deadly BLT. If something happens, I will do it first thing in the morning if any of us are out or anything like that. But I should be better. Like I said, I don't want anything particularly too nasty that's going to make me just barf in the entire studio. And I want you guys to be able to, I guess, actually do something well and like me be able to do the punishment. Now, we didn't discuss this. I don't have to eat the whole thing, right? Like a couple bites?
I don't know. We didn't really go into specifics.
We didn't, because, yeah. Like, I mean, think about it. Deadly BLT, like, do I have to, like, go through this whole nasty thing of eating the whole thing? Because that might make me sick, too.
Like, when you're eating a regular BLT, you usually eat the whole sandwich, right?
I mean, not if I'm full. I can't answer. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know if I always eat the whole sandwich, because sometimes I get full.
And I feel like half is a good spot.
Suffice? Okay.
At least.
No, I think half is good.
I think half is good, too. I would definitely say half, at least half of it. I mean, this thing might be very nasty, whatever you guys, the ingredients you come up with.
I'm trying to think right now what.
What letter are you thinking about?
Well, that'd be on you guys to pick whatever. I get to bring the bread and my own condiment or something, right?
Yeah, like you can bring the bread and then like if you want mayonnaise.
Yeah, I can bring that, okay.
That's why I'm throwing a GP3. Pick a letter.
You pick.
Okay, fine. I'll take the T.
Okay, I'll take B. Give Charlie L.
Ooh.
All right, give Charlie the L. You'll take the B. He'll take the T. Remember, it has to be edible.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be edible. You can't like come here and give me like days old, like, you know, something that's moldy.
Yeah, no, nothing moldy or spoiled.
Or spoiled or.
Technically, blue cheese, though, has mold. Like, blue cheese is moldy.
I blue cheese sometimes. Ugh. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
I like blue cheese, though.
I'm back and forth on blue cheese.
Me, too.
So, got that out the way. I got the Deadly BLT. We're going to get that out the way. That was not that bad, I feel like. I mean, it might be bad with you guys' ingredients to me, but if I just have to eat half of it, like, I can probably stomach through half, unless it's just something that's just god-awful. Like, ugh. Ugh. Something, like, super salty and nasty.
And now, the other stipulation to this is we cannot coordinate our ingredients.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we did talk about that. You guys do your ingredients on your own, not coming up with it and being behind the scenes in a special group chat to like really make my day horrible. You guys coordinate this your own. So there we have it. Time to get to a little NFL recap as well. And before we get this, I finally won a week in confidence picks. I don't know where that puts me at ahead of Charlie, but I finally won a week.
I had a disastrous week.
I only missed three, which Bills and Titans were very close. I put a lot of points on that with 8. Miss BYU again. I won't bet on BYU anymore this season. The Vols, we all missed that. But I got you guys on Oklahoma State. You guys all picked Texas. I picked Auburn. You all picked Arkansas. And Charlie picked Kentucky for some reason against Georgia. I don't know why. He only put 1 point on it, but I don't know why he did that. I still don't know why.
Cost himself a lot of free points.
Yeah, it's just free money there. We all picked the Cardinals. Charlie was the only one to pick the Browns. I picked the Ravens while you guys went with the hot Chargers. And speaking of that, that's
you were exactly right in that
one. I called that.
Yeah, you sure were. Yeah,
I did. I don't want to like toot my own horn or anything, as my horn doesn't work. But yeah, I said Lamar. I'm riding with Lamar Jackson. I like him. He's one of my Ravens. One of my favorite teams in the AFC. I talked about that on Friday, and I didn't think the Chargers. I thought the Ravens would be able to get together on defense, and they did. They held the hot Chargers to 6 points, you guys.
Yeah, Herbert was struggling.
He did not look good.
I did not expect that, especially after the defensive performance against the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, credit to the Ravens.
Ravens may be getting it together with their also a guy who's a part of the MVP discussion. That was a decent game from them. Other notable games from the weekend. Jaguars-Dolphins kicked it off. In London, Urban Meyer gets his first win. Urban Meyer gets his first win.
Well, why is nobody talking about the Jaguar fans throwing trash on the field?
Yeah, right. We started a trend.
Did they in London?
Yeah. They trashed the field after a bad call or something.
I didn't know that.
But you know, you don't see the Ubbins of the world or the Pat 40s or.
Nah, man, you gotta.
I don't know if y'all caught that game.
This is a hot story, man. Clickbait.
I don't know if you caught the end of that game right there, but Jaguars did not hit a field goal the entire season. And the dude, literally on the first one, it was a 54-yarder. He curled.
Game.
No, he curled it on the first one, barely made it, and then drilled the second one just so perfectly.
Right,
like, that's
middle.
Huge.
Right down the middle. So Urban Meyer gets his first win after a mid, just a cloud of scandal looming over the Jags. He finally gets a win. Dolphins not looking so good, man. They continue to fall. That one, I almost hit a parlay on Saturday. I had 6 of the 7 legs all hit on spread.
Man.
So nice payout. The one game that gets me, you don't want to talk about a bad beat. The one game that gets me, I took the Vikings at 6.5. What happened in that game? They give up a late score to the Panthers to go to overtime. And then overtime, they do get the touchdown, but I had the Vikings at 6.5, and obviously, you know, in overtime,
they don't need the extra point.
They don't kick the extra point, so that was a bad beat for me.
Man.
So the Vikings gutted one out there. Kirk Cousins did a lot of work for Charlie. We already talked about the Ravens just obliterating the Chargers. Nobody expected that. That kind of gives the puts the Chiefs right back in the discussion for that division. Excuse me. And then the Rams just obliterated the Giants. Everyone saw that coming, right?
Yeah.
I think they came in as like 8.5-point favorite or something like that, and there was no stopping them. Matt Stafford went off again, 4 touchdowns, only 1 interception, 22 of 28 for 251 yards. It was Darrell Henderson and Sonny Michel getting in on the rush attack. Cooper Kupp stays hot. He is Stafford's favorite target. 9 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. He is really having a beast of a season. The Colts obliterated the Texans. They came as a 10-point favorite, beat them by 28. No doubt there at all.
Now, Jonathan Taylor is really starting to find his groove.
Yeah,
they're starting
to
give him the ball.
Yeah,
like they should. I felt like Frank Wright and his offensive staff were not giving him the ball enough, not giving him enough touches. But Jonathan Taylor comes away looking damn good. 14 carries on the ground, 145 yards, 2 scores.
That's an easy day for Derrick Henry.
Easy day for Derrick Henry. The Chiefs, they beat the Washington football team. And this was a game where it was tight in the first half. The Chiefs were down 10-13 in the first half.
Mahomes, man, he did not look.
He didn't look good.
No.
He had some awful plays. There was one play where he should have took a sack, and he tried to make something happen and just threw the ball.
It barely went anywhere.
No, it just went straight up, and that got picked off. But in the second half, he comes out. I think he was much more efficient. It was like 190-something yards in the second half, 2 scores, or 1 score in the second half. And they go on to win that by scoring 21 unanswered in the second half by a score of 31-13.
Darrell Williams looked really good too.
He did.
Filling in for Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He did. He might take his job. Yeah. He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I picked him up in both my leagues.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Good looks.
Packers Bears. No doubt about that. Discount double check.
We all know who.
Man, you
the
probably
Bears.
Got some chills when Aaron Rodgers was started barking over there after he scored.
I loved it.
Yeah.
He said,
I blacked out. Like, I love that.
He said, I own you. I still own you.
We all know who owns the Bears.
He owns them, though. Like, we look at his record against the Bears. I think maybe he's lost one game versus them. Maybe one. I'd have to look it up. It's like maybe one.
I think I saw he was 22-5 going into the game, and then 23 now.
Basically, he was the Peyton Manning to the Titans.
Yes.
Like, he's that version.
He owns them. He owns him, and he got pretty excited. There's a guy, you know, all the talk in the offseason, they didn't care about his team, and he wasn't up for the challenge, and, you know, all the negative talk about him. He's come back and still doing Aaron Rodgers things. Like, no matter what, if he leaves the Packers after this year, wherever he goes, he's still going to do Aaron Rodgers things. Like,
yeah.
The dude is, I think you said it before, he's one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in our lifetime, especially one of the most accurate. Now, he doesn't have the titles, but he is by far the most accurate quarterback I've seen in my lifetime. Just always gets a W.
Amen. Amen.
I said that as far as just looking at the quarterback alone, pure
yes,
quarterback
that's what
play,
it was. That's
he's the best
said.
I've ever seen.
That's what you said.
Yes.
Yeah, and he is to me. And I know I'm biased, but he just is. I mean, Brady is the champ. He comes through in clutch, and he has the titles. But Aaron Rodgers has done so much with less compared to Brady. But, yeah, he gets it done again. He owns the Bears, as he told him. Bengals. They beat your Lions, man.
I know.
They beat your Lions.
I know.
Are the Bengals going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they are.
4-2 right now. Dan Campbell calls out Jared Goff after the game, says he's got to do more.
Yep.
The Lions are now 0-6. Dan Campbell came in, and he was fired up in that press conference, but he ain't much like a dog right now.
You need to be more like a dog.
He ain't much more like a dog. They're looking like
cats. Would you still rather have Matt Patricia right now?
Heck no. Matt Patricia
really?
Broke us.
You won games with him, though, right?
No. Well,
they had Stafford, I guess.
We had Patricia Stafford, and then Patricia went like 3-13.
After starting 2-1 that one year.
And then the only thing that we've had was like he came in after Jim Caldwell to try to, you know, get all like the wins, you know, get to that 9-7 point. Patricia screwed the pooch. He didn't know how to call an offense at all.
Patricia was 13-29-1
Blah.
in his career in his 3 years with the.
That's not bad.
With the Lions, his first year he goes 6-10. His second year he goes 3-12 and a tie. And then last year he was 4-7, and then he got, you know, the axe.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than what they're doing now.
Yeah.
I mean,
also they. I mean, of course they're doing better than what they're doing now because they had better personnel. Easily.
Yeah, better
easily.
Quarterback.
You had a better quarterback. You had more people on defense before they all got traded slash signed away.
Do you not trade Stafford? That's the like. Do you?
That was never going to work.
Because it looks
Patricia.
Like the Lions just went into complete rebuild mode, which I get. Like,
which they did because Patricia broke us. Because before Patricia came here, we weren't. Because we were at least competing for
the wild card in multiple positions.
You
know what the Lions' problem was? Firing Jim Caldwell.
Yes, that
idiots.
Was a problem.
I'm serious.
He made it to the playoffs multiple times at like that 10-6 record.
Yeah, idiots. When you fire,
yeah, I hated that.
Fire Jim Caldwell, a guy that gets a lot of respect in this league because he's been in the league a long time. Guy that coached Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of respect for that. But in his 4 years with the Lions, you know what their record was?
Give it to me.
It was at least a winning record. 36-28. Not much over 500. But at least his worst season was 7-9. His best season was 2014, was 11-5. And then his last two seasons before getting ousted, he was 9-7. I look at the Lions job like the Vanderbilt job. You can't ask for much more, Lions.
Yeah.
9-7. What else do you want? You got a tough opponent in Aaron Rodgers every year. And the Vikings have gotten better over this time as well.
True. Kirk Cousins.
And the
been
Bears'
nice.
Defense got better.
Yeah.
The Bears kind of flipped. They've been, you know, up and down. I can't say they've necessarily gotten better as a whole.
I mean, this the way it sounds like when Tennessee fired Phil Fulmer.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Phil was the guy, got him, you know, to the peak, and then he had a couple bad years. And
that's all.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the Lions' previous history, and I'm not even talking about in the last couple of years. I'm just talking about overall history. 9-7 wasn't that damn bad for him.
No.
You know, you got to wait that out.
That's especially not bad for anybody, really.
Especially with a guy like Jim Caldwell. I feel like you should have got him a couple of more weapons. You should have been able to talk Calvin Johnson in the stand and not so jaded on the entire damn organization. So, tough loss for... Yeah.
There's one coming. There's got to be one coming.
Or will they go 0-16?
No.
Oh,
17.
Funny stat. Dan Campbell was a tight end on the 0-16 team. Dan Campbell was a tight end on the 0-16. Look it up.
Oh,
look it up.
No.
Dan Campbell was a tight end for the Lions on that 0-16. So he's used to being a loser.
So the Lions going to be the first team to go 0-16 and 0-17?
That would be.
Just,
and
that's
I know
not going
to
happen.
That would be in history. That has to be the first time that a coach not only coached an 0-17 team, but also played for an 0-16 team. You're talking about making history. I guess there is a bright spot for you Lions fans. Moving along, I won't try to put too much on Ryan today. Cardinals, Browns, man, Kyler Murray. I know Baker Mayfield got knocked up in this game. He went down with an injury, and they pulled him late in the game because there was no point. Cardinals had too big of a lead. But is anybody playing the quarterback position better than Kyler Murray right now?
I mean, I think you before last night, you could have argued Josh Allen.
Yes. I mean, and there's guys you can argue. You could say Stafford is. I mean, you could say even Rodgers might be. We thought Herbert was till this past
Lamar
weekend.
Jackson
Lamar
has,
Jackson. But yeah. So far, if you look at the MVP race, I think we'd all agree he's the top of the list right now. And maybe there's Lamar Jackson right on his heels, and there's other guys right on his heels.
Yeah.
But he's the top guy. Four touchdowns again. Second time this season he's had four touchdowns in a game with no interceptions. 20 of 30. And they just own the Browns. I watched this entirety of this game, and it was probably because I had a little bit of change on it too. But in all facets of the game, defensive, J.J. Watt was getting in there. Chandler Jones, they were disruptive to Baker Mayfield. They put him down hard to where he had to leave the game for a couple series, came back. They caused a lot of turnovers with Baker. He had an interception, also a fumble, maybe two fumbles. They did their best with Kareem Hunt stopping him. There was no Nick Chubb this game, so they didn't have to worry too much about that. Odell Beckham goes down with another injury.
This whole team got injured during this game.
He came back. Yeah, everybody got injured. But Kyle Murray just looks like a wizard out there.
He does.
And that was without Cliff Kingsbury due out with COVID.
Yeah, and one thing that I really like to see when I'm looking at this box score for Kyler Murray, when I think of a good quarterback, I think of being efficient and I think of getting the good touchdowns and the scores, but not having to rely so much on like the individual yardage right here. So only 230 for four touchdowns? That means he was doing everything almost as good as he possibly could have.
I don't know if you watched the game, but there's he had an excellent throw where he finds DeAndre Hopkins wide open. Who leaves Hopkins wide open in the back end zone? Strike. Hopkins made a good play on another one where he caught short and just juked some people on the way. But he had a lot of nice throws. 865-546-8200. Come back on the other side. We'll continue to talk a little bit more about the NFL. Talk about some of the best performers of the week. Also, maybe look at these divisional races one more time. And the Cowboys. I guess I got to say it for Rick. How about them Cowboys? We'll talk more about it on the other side. Keep it locked for more of the Blitz. This is Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz. Chance Collins, Ryan, GP3, inside the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Talk a little NFL talk with you. Going around the league. Looking at some of the games from this past weekend. We had some pretty damn good games. Left
like all the favorites won.
They did. They hit Vegas hard.
Except for the Bills, I guess.
I saw some stat where Vegas got really hard because the majority of your favorites won, especially in the 1 o'clock slate.
Yeah.
Yeah, all your favorites won there. So, bettors were the winners this weekend, not the handicappers. So that's what we tell you. You need to get over to our friends at FanDuel, man. Like, you got weeks like that where all of the favorites win, and you can get on the action, too, and win some big
I saw the one guy who had a parlay, every favorite from the weekend to win, and all he needed was the bills.
The bills for like 100 or 80,000.
It was like $1,000 to pay out like 200 grand,
yeah,
something,
it was something
like that.
Yeah.
And he didn't hedge it.
He didn't cash out either.
No.
He should have the early cash out.
He might have hedged on a different book or something like that. I mean, I would have hedged.
No, I'm doing an early cash out, man. I'm doing the early cash out.
Yeah, if you're doing that good, you need something guaranteed.
Cash out and then just put some of the cash out back
on. The Bills, yeah. Or on the Titans, whatever. Yeah, you do got to do the early cash out there. You got to watch that ticker. And oh, early cash out. It keeps going down. Get it now. So at least you make some of your money back. But a big win over the weekend, statement win, I guess you could say. The Cowboys finally beat the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I think he had beat them some stat like the last five times. So Dak Prescott, he gets a big win. We haven't talked about Dak a lot in the MVP discussion, but he's doing big things too. Another 400-yard performance from him. 36 of 51, 445 yards through the air, three touchdowns, and only one interception. Are we not giving Dak Prescott enough credit? He brought this team back. He brought him back. And I know their defense is playing well. Trayvon Diggs, although Charlie don't want to give him the credit, another pick six.
And then right after that pick, he gave up.
He gave up a bad touchdown. He looked, and then I was like, maybe Charlie was right. They are attacking him. You know, good corners don't get thrown at. And he gave up a bad touchdown right after that pick six. But Dak, are we not giving Dak enough credit? Should he be in the MVP discussion as well? Right?
I think.
Well, yeah, like most definitely right here. I mean, he is commanding one of the top teams in the NFC at this point through this season. They're 4-5-1, 445 yards. He's picking up right where he left off, which is crazy to think with his injury.
Yeah.
But the thing is like when somebody's coming back from an injury like that, you want to view them more in the comeback player of the year category instead of the whole entire MVP category. So it's like he's almost tarnished just because of bad luck.
He's going to win comeback player of the year.
Yeah, that was
easy.
Guaranteed, but it's like he's not getting the respect for MVP because everyone's like, oh, he's already got that comeback of the year award like in the bag already. So he's not getting the true respect.
I don't know if it's that or if it's just because Kyler's playing so well. They're both in the NFC. I don't know, but I do think he should be in the discussion, just like I think Derrick Henry should be in the discussion. You look at who is the most valuable to their team. I've said it for years, it should always be Russell Wilson, because I think without Russell Wilson, you see how bad the Seahawks are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think I think it should be Kyler 1, probably Dak 2, Derrick Henry 3.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. I might put Dak and, like, Lamar around the same spot, or maybe Lamar Jackson a little bit behind Dak. But, yeah, man, we got to start talking about Dak Prescott. Like, the horrible injury last year, and he's came back and not skipped a beat, man. I mean, there's no other way for me to really put it. The guys came back, and he's played elite. I know there's a lot of talk coming in the season. He said he feels like he got better in the offseason, like it's working out and stuff. And I can't knock it that, I mean, the guy is – He looks better. He looks like a more improved quarterback. His first outing against the against Tampa Bay, 403 yards passing through the air, followed up by another win against the Chargers that they really – that was a tight one. They only win by three there. And then just a pretty big statement win against New England. And we know that New England's down this year. I mean, I'm not going to act like they're the New England of old or any of Belichick's former teams, but still a big win on a and get a monkey off your back. Haven't been able to beat Bill Belichick, and Dak did come to play, and he performed.
Yeah, and finally unlocked CeeDee Lamb. Lamb finally had the game that everybody was like, you know, drafting him in fantasy to get to that high level.
I loved his touchdown at the end. Was amazing.
Yeah,
Dak is averaging three interceptions a game, 0.7, or not three interceptions, three touchdowns per game, 2.7, 0.7 picks. So an average, maybe about a pick a game, but 3-to-1 ratio, and over 300 yards passing a game. Over 300 yards passing a game. You can't ask for more, especially a guy coming off a gruesome injury.
Yeah.
And he's doing it, man. A QBR, trying to look right here and get the average. My computer's being slow. Look, QBR average. Did it again to me. Oh, Ryan, get on that for me.
Gotcha.
My computer's being really slow. But QBR average around, I guess, like 115 or so right now. Over the last couple of seasons. Right now he's at 108.7 for the season. So he's come to play. And that's what I guess the Cowboys have been looking for the last couple of years. They knew they had something special in Dak, but to get back to be America's team and to really earn the spotlight as they're always given, they're doing the things they're supposed to. And it seems like it's coming together, too, with the defense side of the ball, too. And they're starting to incorporate the run a lot more, too. They're getting Zeke the ball. They are getting Zeke the ball. Outside Cowboys-Patriots in the nightcap on Sunday or the afternoon, we also had the Raiders. What about the Raiders? They win a tough one to stay second place in that division against the Broncos. They move to 4-2. They're actually tied for first now with the Chargers, I believe.
Yeah.
The Raiders, and that's after their whole debacle with everything that happened with John Gruden over the week that transpired and him having to resign and the scandal. And they come out and get a big win. Win by 10 against the Broncos, division win. That keeps them alive. And then the nightcap was the Steelers and the Seahawks. We talked a little bit about that. I don't know if either team looked great in this.
Yeah.
This was kind of a snooze fest type of game.
It was until the end.
Until the end, whenever kind of like they started scoring some points, tie ball game, and then Geno Smith on the game winning drive that would have been the game winning drive for the Seahawks, trying to put him in position to win the game. He has an opening. He starts to scramble, and Geno Smith has the most fumbles since he came into the league among active players. He fumbles the ball. T.J. Watt with the huge strip puts the Steelers in field goal position. They kick the field goal and win the game. Seahawks in trouble if they don't get – we saw Russ in warm-ups doing his warm-ups. You think he comes back sooner than later?
Yes.
He has a little, like, cast on the fingers. You think he can play next week?
I might give him one extra.
One more week.
Yeah.
And he's on IR, so he's a little stuck, too. They went ahead and committed to him being out for, like, at least 3 weeks right there. But, I mean, y'all know, like, how – like particular he is with maintaining his body in the offseason, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like one of those that if anybody can, it's going to be him. And like we've talked about, he is so freaking important for this team.
Say if he makes the next couple weeks, they play the Saints and the Jags, so they probably can survive there. But then they have a tough, tough matchup with Packers and Cardinals back-to-back. They'll play the Washington football team, and they'll play the 49ers. And then it kind of loosens up a little bit. So we'll keep an eye on there. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. We got to take a quick timeout. We're way overdue. Other side, let's get into some Diamond Talk. Bases on. Bravos roll on. Can they get that pivotal Game 3 win tonight?
Afternoon, 5 o'clock.
Tonight in Los Angeles.
Yeah, they're in L.A., which is going to be a 2 o'clock start time, local time.
That's so weird. 5 o'clock start time. Can't really get behind it. Hey, but keep it locked here. We'll talk more about the Diamond on the other side. Welcome back to the Blitz. Jared on Twitter says, "I hope the Seahawks don't win another game." Okay, Well, I'm at 2017 Tennessee levels of fandom with the staff. So I'm guessing Jared wants Pete Carroll out. Which I don't think is going to happen, Jared. I'm sorry. I feel like he could lose a lot of games this year, too, and he could just blame that Russell Wilson wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, you just said it the most, like, that is their team. That is their offense. So I don't know if that's going to happen, Jared, but I mean,
I also feel like
crazier things have happened.
I feel like Pete Carroll's one of those coaches you don't fire either. You let him resign or something like that.
Yes. I believe so as well. But to quickly switch gears, we got baseball back on tap tonight.
Yes, we do.
Baseball is back. GP3 is closely watching if his Bravos can take a commanding 3-0 series lead as they will have first pitch in Los Angeles. Early start time, man. Super early start time for us, 5:08 p.m.
2:08 local time out on the West Coast.
Yeah, I mean, even bigger start time for the Dodgers. I wonder how many fans they can actually get to that. It'll be 2:08 start time for them. Then you have your nightcap with the Astros and the Red Sox. Boston leads that series 2-1. What do we think about your Braves tonight? Probable pitchers for the Braves on the mound?
You got Charlie Morton on the mound for the Braves, who has been lights out. So, like, the last stretch of the season going into the playoffs, it's been really, really good. He's got the experience pitching in the postseason. He pitched a Game 7 against the Dodgers.
He pitched in the postseason
literally last year
for the Rays, right?
Yeah.
Yep. He started.
Yeah. So, your probable pitcher, Charlie Morton. Then on the other side, is it Wilson Buehler?
Walker Buehler.
Walker. Why did I get that right? I get that wrong every
Vanderbilt
time.
Product.
Vanderbilt product. Walker Buehler for the Dodgers, who's been pretty good.
Yeah, he's really good. It's going to be I envision this being a very low-scoring game, just like the first two games have been. Somebody's got to come through, though, whether that's Austin Riley, who's definitely making his case to be the MVP of the NL.
I almost hit a big same-game parlay for baseball last night. I had Kyle Schwarber home run. I was looking for a Rafael Devers home run to set it off for me.
Oh.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
Would have been very nice.
Freddie Freeman, the big story there, he's 0-8 to start the NLCS with 7 strikeouts.
Oh,
yikes.
Freddie. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So if you told me Freddie was going to strike out in his first 7 plate attempts.
You told me I was smoking some good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to be up 2-0 in the series.
You told me I was smoking some really good stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe it's time for him to come alive.
I mean, when you say you're up 2-0 and without your best player, I mean, obviously on the offense side of the ball, that is pretty remarkable. I'm going to have to give that to you. Maybe this is the year for the Bravos. Maybe they are a team of destiny as the Nationals were in the past. As the Braves were in the past, the year that they did win it, David Justice. I mean, as the 2004 Red Sox were. Can they do it?
This feels like it could be two teams.
If they take it tonight, it's over, right? If they take it tonight, it's over. You don't want to say that because you're a Braves fan. You don't want to put the jinx or the hex on your team. So I ask you, they win tonight, it's over, right?
Yeah.
Dodgers can't come back from 3-0.
No way. They can't, right? Not against the Braves in the playoffs. It's like the Braves are really good in the playoffs, and this never happens, right?
You want to talk about last year because they were able to come back from 3-1. There's a big difference between that team last year and this year, and it's got to do with the pitching. Last year, we didn't have Charlie Morton last year. We had Ian Anderson and Max Fried. That was it. Then you were starting pitchers Kyle Wright in Game 3, who got shelled in Game 3. You had Bryce Wilson, who pitched Game 4, actually pitched a really good game, but that's a guy that you're not expecting to get a win out of. And then you had to circle the wagons again on short rest, pitch Max Fried and Ian Anderson. So now you got Charlie Morton pitching Game 3. Ian Anderson got yanked early in Game 2 because he just didn't have it. He should be good to go Game 4.
Yep.
And then you can circle back around and go Max Fried again. So, I mean, the pitching depth is the difference between this year and last year.
Before we got out of here talking about baseball, a quote that would probably serve as some bulletin board material for the Bravos tonight as they are in Los Angeles. This is what Dave Roberts had to say. I think that Walker and the guys behind him tomorrow are going to prevent runs as after the last loss, and we're going to score more, or yesterday when he was asked, and we're going to score more than they will. And I think we're And I think we're going to do that. I believe we're going to win this series. I believe we're going to win tomorrow. general manager for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I believe that we will win.
Yeah, Dave Roberts. Putting the guarantee. I guess it's not really a guarantee, but it's a semi-guarantee. Saying, yeah. I believe that we will win the series. I believe that we'll win tomorrow. Yeah. He just didn't say that I guarantee a win. I believe.
You can maybe make the argument that the Dodgers are kind of doing this to themselves a little bit. I mean, you go back to game two where Chris Taylor rounded second base, or maybe this was game one. Chris Taylor rounded second base on a hit from Cody Bellinger and then got thrown out trying to go to third, which cost them the ninth inning with two runners on. Poor managing decisions from Dave Roberts, yanking Gratterall in game two to bring in Kenley Jansen, and then Kenley gives up the game winner on the very first pitch.
Yeah, and Scherzer got pulled really early too, right?
Yeah, Scherzer got pulled
early.
They also
brought in Urias,
who's a starter. Yeah. They brought him out of the pen. When a normal manager probably would have gone Gratterall in the eighth and then Kenley Jansen in the ninth.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he's done that in the past, though. He's made some questionable decisions with Kershaw and things over the years, too, outside of last year when they won it all. So we've always kind of looked at Dave Roberts' pitching, I guess, substitutions. Sometimes they're a little shaky. Hey, one final segment of the Blitz. Talk sports in the building. They'll have you covered from noon until 3, followed by the drive of Russell and the Bear from 3 until 6. Nightcap it with Will Stevens and Tucker Holt, 6 to 8. Do it all again tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., starting off with 3 and out. That's how we do it over here at Fan Run Radio. We have one more segment with us next up, if you haven't heard.
Closing time.
Closing time. Here at the Blitz. Time to lock the doors. Your Talk Sports is coming here. One final segment for us. Time to get this little if you haven't heard. We got a couple minutes left on the show. I got a couple if you haven't heard for you guys. My first one. This comes from Tennessee Basketball Vol _ Hoops official Twitter account. I noticed this earlier. I was looking through. I'm starting to get a little bit more excited about Tennessee basketball, too, as we're approaching basketball season. But Tennessee starts off the year at number 18. That is your AP Top 25 starting position, number 18 in the country. And a little bit more detail on things to go with the preseason AP poll. Tennessee has a tough schedule. 16 of Tennessee's 31 regular season games will feature an opponent that is either ranked or is receiving votes in the AP poll. So tough, tough landscape.
It's tough, but I want this schedule for our basketball
team. Yeah, you do.
You
want to be better.
Yeah.
That makes you better.
I want to see exactly how good we are.
Like, if you want to get to the top at basketball, which I think we want to, you gotta play the best teams.
You gotta welcome in that competition.
And we've been doing this for a while now. I mean, we played North Carolina when they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
We've been playing Gonzaga and a bunch
That's one thing we can say about Barnsley. He ain't scared to play competition.
No.
He always wants his guys to play the best so they can get better. So many tough matchups this year. We talk about we have to go to Texas.
Yeah, and Texas came in preseason ranked number 4,
yeah.
I think.
Chris Beard. New head coach Chris Beard from Texas Tech, only a couple years removed from a national championship appearance.
I do think we're too low. I mean, if you're...
Yeah.
Yes.
We're definitely getting disrespected.
If you're
going to
put Kentucky at 10 because of their recruiting class, then you got to put...
I think Tennessee's easily a top 12 team.
Yeah,
me as well.
But I kind of like it. I kind of like it when they have their backs against the wall.
So make us hungry.
Seems like sometimes Rick Barnes' teams play better when their backs are against the wall. Also, one more if you haven't heard from me. The 20-man watch list for the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award? Well, none other than Vol Hoops' own Kennedy Chandler is on that list. And Kennedy Chandler is the only true freshman on the list. That's right. There's only one true freshman on the 20-man watch list for the Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award, and that is none other than Tennessee Vol's own Kennedy Chandler. Excited to see what he's going to do this year. Anybody else got some if you haven't heard?
Yeah, I got one. New York Yankees have extended manager Aaron Boone's contract for 3 years. I believe that's through the 2024, 2025, right around there.
Mm-hmm.
So Yankee fans not too happy about that. But
nah,
I think it's I don't think it's a bad move. I mean,
I don't either. I think that he's been consistently.
He doesn't done it like terrible or anything, except there's just such a high standard to wear the pinstripes.
The Yankees fired Girardi after he took him to the ALCS and lost in, I think, 7 games. I mean, I think it's time for the Yankees to kind of look at themselves and realize they're not who they used to be anymore. Like,
yeah.
It's not.
It's like how the Vols had to do after a while. Like, fans have been like, we're not the same Vols of the past.
It's like they've gone 12 years without winning a World Series now, and they're acting like it's, I don't know.
Like they're expected to be there.
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying. One other quick one before, Ryan, you get to yours. Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN, says the Browns at this point do not fear Baker Mayfield's left shoulder injury is season-ending or require surgery immediately, per league source. But Baker Mayfield wants a second opinion. So he's getting that doctor who Mayfield has chosen is getting MRI scans done today. So still to be announced on his status for Thursday night's game against Denver.
Ooh. Yeah, and they really need him, too, with all those lingering injuries.
It's always a little sketchy when your guy wants to go outside the organization. I don't trust this doctor. I need another opinion.
Yeah. Didn't like what he was hearing. But, yeah, I got a quick one real quick. So the NBA, they were throwing out money to a bunch of the young role players here in the NBA. Three for you real quick. The Hawks and Kevin Huerter have reached agreement on a four-year, $65 million extension for Red Velvet. The Wizards.
That's a good deal for him.
Right?
That's a good deal for him.
Wizards and Daniel Gafford. 3 years, $40 million, just came over.
Arkansas product.
Yeah, and he's been playing great for Washington, too. And the Bucks with Grayson Allen getting traded from the Grizzlies and immediately getting paid by someone else.
Everybody getting the bag.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody gets the bag in the NBA. Hey, that'll do it for our show today. Talk Sports has you covered next. John Reed and the boys. On the way out, though, National Calendar Days. Today is National. Well, shout out to Nashville, though. National Seafood Bisque Day. I love a good lobster bisque, shrimp bisque.
Oh, yeah.
It's also National LGBTQ Plus Center Awareness Day. Pro-Life Day of Silent Solidarity. It's National Pharmacy Technician Day. Shout out to all the pharmacy techs out there. And it's a state day. Not Northeast this time.
Ooh, I was definitely about to go. Montana.
Not Idaho, Utah, not Montana, but National Kentucky Day.
No.
Hey, that'll do it for us. For Ryan, for GP3, I'm Chance. We'll do it all tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio. This is The Blitz. Keep it locked for more Fan Run Radio. Talk Sports up next.